Okay, we'll take your phone calls now for our very special guest, Brent Rains. We'll be back with him and you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Brent Rains, our guest, and your phone calls as well. Let's go to some of these calls, Brent, as they line up for you. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I was going to ask him, I live in Texas, and I've seen a few spears out where I live. There's just little spears, a couple of them. You can't tell if they're far away or if they're close. I've seen several. They're not ships or anything. I was wondering, what has he ever seen anything like that? And just his opinions on them. I mean, they're like, they're just blue spears. I've seen white ones,
almost like orbs.
I guess they're patriotic.
All right, Brent, I don't think you've seen anything, but what do you think?
Well, you know, like I said, just lights at a distance. But you could actually make out the shape of them. I mean, it wasn't just a light,
like a fluorescent spear. And it's like hanging in the cedars, and you can't really tell if it's far away or if it's very close. I've seen them where they, you know, kind of went beside my truck, not chasing me, but looking in my rearview mirror, coming up on me, and then going to the side, and then when I get to my house, jump over the road, and then they disappear.
Okay. Strange.
Yeah, it is.
How big are they?
To me, they look probably... Maybe if they were flat, four feet wide in diameter, maybe.
Does anybody else see them as they're around you?
My brother has, and it kind of scared me. But nobody else, I mean, I've met people down there that have seen objects, but not similar. They've seen light, so they can't, it's not really describing what I've seen, but they've seen other things in that area.
I mean, if you're driving along the road... do you talk to other people and say, you're not going to believe what's following me or anything like that?
No, it's always been by myself.
You don't live around Mafra, Texas, do you?
No, I live out by Cleburne, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Granbury, Texas.
Okay. And this, are they very bright, these lights, or?
No, they don't, I mean, they're bright when you look at them, but they don't put off light, you know? I mean, you can see what color they are, but they don't put off. I mean, they don't shine on me.
You can't see any structure to these or anything like that.
No, they're just round. The first one I ever seen. My first wife, when we were young, on a hill. We lived with my parents, and we started to get out by ourselves for a while late at night. And we both seen the blue one, and it kind of scared us. We would kind of hide behind the truck, and it would kind of come around. But the first thing we heard was a humming noise. And it kind of scared us. And like I say, we couldn't tell if it was far away or close.
Did these things act like they were? Did they act like they were under control of some intelligence?
They acted like they were watching us, or it was watching us, because we would kind of hide behind the truck because we kind of freaked out, and it would move around to where it could see us.
All right, thanks. What if it's some kind of dimensional animal form, Brent? You know, here we are. I mean, we see creatures on this planet, and we're accustomed to them. But what if they are creatures from another world?
Right. It's of course, it was back in the 50s. Trevor James Constable was a researcher who was also photographed, you know, took infrared pictures and such out in the desert of California, and would pick up very unusual images. That didn't look like structured craft. It looked like more like amoebas and such. And he called them space critters, you know. And a few others have duplicated similar effects, but I don't know. Because what he described, it might have been some kind of a plasma type thing, or the humming sound. And I don't know. Just it'd be interesting if he could get some pictures of it.
They do sound like orbs. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Years ago, I worked with a guy who was an amateur. He used to build sound systems and speakers, and he became obsessed with noise cancellation. He had his own little lab that he filled with speakers, and he claimed that he could make things absolutely silent by generating the tone. And the pipe that I heard earlier reminded me of this. And what got freaky about it is he would come in to work all glassy-eyed and talking about things he saw, and we'd send him out to be drug tested, thinking that he was on drugs. But he became so obsessed with this, he also became obsessed with Native Indian music that he was piping into the system. He became so obsessed that eventually he just quit coming to work. And one day we found out that his family had found him in that sound lab dead. He'd become so obsessed, he just quit eating and drinking and spent his whole time in that sound lab surrounded by the sound of Indian pipes.
Hmm.
And it literally killed him off.
He used to talk about hearing the voice of God, and several people went in that lab. He claimed, he made the claim that by generating a tone in that lab that he could set off a firecracker in that lab and you wouldn't hear it go off. And I know two or three guys that were in there when he set off a cherry bomb, they said he was right. He set off a cherry bomb when he had all the speakers going, you could not hear that cherry bomb.
Yeah, it sounds like he was zeroing in on the right frequencies.
Well, something, I don't know, sounds interesting. I'd like to know more. Kind of makes me think right off the top of my head, you hear a lot of cases of the when there's a UFO presence, how everything goes silent. You know, there's no animal noises or anything. You could hear a pin drop.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hey. You were talking about earlier, when that tone was going off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I guess people were emailing you or something or fast-blasting you that, their animals were going nuts?
Yes.
Well, I was sitting around, I was kind of doodling around while that was going on. I went, well, that sounds like a high C. So I played it. I got five harmonicas. And so I took a C harmonica and played a high C on it, and my cat just started wailing like crazy. And when that tone was on, before he started, he was upset and running around the house. I'm going to play a high C now, okay?
All right.
And I want to see what people say about their animals. I'll do it for all, I don't know.
Now, how close is this to the Peruvian whistling vessel that we just heard?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's see. Ready?
All right. All right. Kind of a weak C, but there it is. I don't think many animals will react to that. The whistling vessel sounded much more compelling.
I'm still in my body.
Me too. First time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Tony from Houston, Texas.
Hey,
first
Tony.
Time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Hey, so about 2 years ago, my wife and my best friend and his fiance, we all decided to go take a little fishing trip out in the Gulf of Mexico. And while we were out there, it was about midnight or around that time, saw a huge orb, just like a round, about 3 or 4 foot wide orb, just floating out in the middle of the water. Not floating, but it was above the water. All of a sudden, it just bursts out into 5 different orbs that are 6 feet above the water. All the same color, red, bright red. And they just, it lasted for about 3 to 5 seconds, then it went back, and then the main orb just disappeared.
All of you must have looked at each other like, what did we just see?
Yeah, we were freaked out. At first, I'm a skeptic, I want to believe, but I was like, okay, that was a flare. But yet there was no sound. We're 100 miles off the Gulf Coast, off the Texas coast. And there's nothing else around, as far as I could tell. It seemed, it looked like it was about 30 yards away from us. I mean,
that's pretty close.
My perception was completely way off, maybe.
Hmm.
Now, would it have been a declared a sighting, or is that a, you know, what would that be? And if it is a sighting, are there a lot of them that are seen out on the water?
I think it's a sighting.
Yeah, it's a UFO. It's unidentified flying object. We don't know what it was, you know.
Did you ever get reports of orbs, Brent?
Uh-huh, yeah, I've had orb reports, sure.
And what do they tell you?
Well, some are natural, of course, and I'm sure, but then there's those that seem to have an intelligence, that seem to have an agenda.
There's some control behind
them. Seem to be something else. There are even these orbs that are associated with, in one instance, a gentleman told me, and his mother confirmed it too, that years ago they had had a relative who had died, and for weeks before this happened, these little balls of light would come around close to their home. And the last night that they appeared at their closest, and that was the night that a relative passed away.
Right. What do you see as the significance of UFOs in shamanic practices? I mean, there's obviously some kind of connection here. What's the significance?
Well, I'm just looking at the data, and I'm thinking that, there's a psychic. The experiences often seem to open up like a psychic awareness. And there's also a lot of, shows a lot of connectedness with the environment. People suddenly know things, experience things that they didn't previously. And I think it's, this may be, it's a combination of energy and I think intelligence. Part of it's ours, part of it's a reflective intelligence, I think, on our part. It's trying to determine what is getting a clear signal, and what is it that another intelligence is trying to communicate and convey, and what is it that we're just sort of dredging up from our own subconscious, you know, since a lot of it does seem to occur like in an altered state.
Do you think we were genetically altered by them?
Well, there's a. It's interesting, you know, a lot of the mythologies talk about, like even going back to the Bible's book of Genesis, you know, the Adam and Eve story, and that sounds kind of like, genetic engineering there. Eve created from a rib, of Adam.
Well, if you believe the Sumerian tablets interpreted by Zechariah Sitchin,
right.
Then you're convinced that we were altered. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi, George and Brent. Nice. Thanks for having me. I've listened to your show tonight. We've touched on this a couple of times now tonight. I'm 42 years old. When I was 13, I was sleeping outside with a friend. The next thing I know, I'm looking down at my friend and myself, my own body. The next thing I know, I'm rolled over on my back. And the only way I can explain it really is like going through hyperspace, I guess, if you're watching Star Wars or something, which I'm not a big fan of. But the next thing I know, I'm in a dark place, and suddenly it's just a super bright light, a blinding type light, and in a James Earl Jones type of voice, it just said, "Troy, this is your last chance." And the next thing I know, I'm being pushed back, and suddenly I'm in my body. I don't believe it was a dream. I've had dreams, and I can actually control them. You know, if it gets too scary, you can wake yourself up or let the course run out. But coming back into my body, it was, I think that was the most traumatic experience. If I was to explain that, it'd be almost like, I guess, maybe being born again.
But I was just wondering, would that be maybe some type of abduction, or I'll leave that open-ended question up to you two, because I'm just completely at a loss and always have been. And
well, were you having any kind of ill health at the time?
No, absolutely not. We were out riding motorcycles that evening, and dirt bikes, I'll be honest with you. Since then, a lot of things kind of are going on. I don't really want to get into everything. I sometimes almost have to question my own sanity. It's just
really okay.
It's. I mean, I'm fine. I mean, it's just.
Is it upsetting to you?
It kind of is. I mean, being told this is Troy. This is your last chance. That's what I was told, and like I said, in a very loud, commanding voice, it was really upsetting. In fact, it still affects me today.
Maybe it's your guardian angel kind of warning you.
It does have kind of a, sound kind of reminds you a little bit of a near-death experience. That's why I asked about your health. But, the traveling through space, and except you came to a dark place.
Sounds more of a helper, Brent.
But then there was the blind light. Yeah, a lot of times, well, what I'm saying, like the near-death experience, they come to a light and then they're sent back, not their time. But, it sounds like there's a helper that's a guardian of some kind, sent him back for, it's not his time, or something else to do.
Well, there's no, I mean, I am a believer in life after death. There's no doubt about it. I'm a believer that there's extraterrestrial life out there in our universe. I'm not so sure I'll accept the dimensional hypotheses yet. Will you?
Well, I think that there's, I'm just looking at it as a possible explanation for it. There's something that seems it's what we would put in that language, but what is it exactly? I don't know. I mean, where you have beings that and craft that appear to go through solid houses and trees and things and violate the laws of physics as we know them, but that's again that is we know them so. What does that mean exactly?
Well, the name of the book is Visitors from Hidden Realms, The Origin and Destiny of Humanity, as told by Star Elders. Brent Rains is, of course, the author of this. Website again is, Brent?
www.mysterious-america.net.
All right, very good. Brent, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. And when we come back, we will continue with your open line questions and your concerns about whether you think you were abducted or not. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Intuitive psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Joseph is always fun to talk with, and I got to tell you, he is very perceptive. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Who are you?
I can verify Joseph Jacobs. I had a reading from him. Great.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
The comment I had was for your guest, and he's no longer there. They've informed me. But I was thinking that the sounds, the high-pitched sounds, they are related to what is called the sound current.
How so?
Well, there's a sound current, like light, that surrounds the earth.
All right.
And it's the same thing you kind of hook into when you say om or any kind of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of chant.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, basically that's what it's all about.
Well, why does it work, or how does it work?
I'm not really sure, except that when it said, let there be light, let there be sound, somehow, otherwise meditation would have no effect.
It's some kind of, it has to do with vibration. There's no doubt about that.
And the more you vibrate, and you can see it in the animals, so the more you vibrate, the more you can get into meditation, whether you say Om or Coca-Cola or whatever, over and over again, you're still going to eventually get into the sound current, and I think that's what he was talking about.
All right, that's fascinating. Thanks for the call. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. Hi.
Hi, I'm John. I was also wanting to ask Brent about certain things. I'm here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and about approximately 10 years ago, we had a UFO flyby over Lookout Mountain, and it had been in the news, and it was pretty big, and at one point it even went on one of these mystery or mysterious event shows, I can't remember the name of it,
mm-hmm.
And the UFO flew by, there was a silent black helicopter that flew after that, and a few other helicopters trailing behind that. And during the week that followed, there were two women who were hiking on a trail near the foot of Lookout Mountain, and they were approached by two men trying to look like country folk wannabes with a couple of 45s strapped on their side, claiming to be government agents, or not quite claiming to be, and threatening to have them arrested if they didn't get off the hiking trail, which they had hiked for years.
What do you think was on the end of the trail here?
I have no idea. I was living up in Dayton at the time, Dayton, Tennessee, so I didn't get to come down and investigate. I'm in Chattanooga now, but...
What did this object apparently look like?
Apparently, it was like the old-fashioned disc. You know, the old saucer shape. I missed the actual craft itself, but I did see the video footage on the Black Ops helicopters and other helicopters flying after it.
Did you conclude that whatever you saw was extraterrestrial or man-made?
I have no idea. I just don't understand. If it's really spiritual, like Brett was referring to, why would there be a need for helicopters to chase after it?
Exactly. I don't believe it's spiritual. It has all the makings of something physical.
Yes. There seems to be... I've heard reference that...
look, I believe in demons. I believe in angels. I believe all that is spiritual. But I just believe that whatever we're talking about now, these are physical objects, physical manifestations.
Yes, I do too. Also, about the spirit device he had, whistling, we were experimenting, a circle of friends and I were experimenting with shamanic drums and rattles.
Yeah.
And we used to do astral projections all the time.
It worked for you.
It worked great.
Maybe that's what I'm missing, because I was only able to do it once as a kid. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
My comment relates to actually what the last caller just mentioned. I was hoping to talk about the relation the guest's work had to Dr. Hank Wesselman's work with rattles and drums, and how he talked on the show about how at the right frequencies those can induce altered states. I thought it might be producing a similar vibration against the inner ear as these acoustic whistling devices, which might just be like, say, a higher tech version of the same
yes,
idea.
I think you're right. Wessel is very good at that. But I think he got a lot of his knowledge from the ancients as well, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I thought it was perhaps related.
You know, when you heard that whistle, did it have any effect on you?
You know, I'm not in a relaxed state. I'm actually working, but I felt a little, I don't know, maybe different when I heard it. I wasn't exactly sure, though.
A little tingly?
Yeah, that's the perfect word. It's something that I would like to get more of for maybe to try with meditation at some point.
I wouldn't mind picking up one of those things. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Where are you calling from?
My name is Tim, and I'm calling from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Sure thing.
I was going to ask your guest, and maybe if you have contact with him again in the future, you can relay this question or whatnot. But I was wondering how many different Indian cultures around the world have experienced this, and what kind of length of time has this happened? Has it happened? Is it way in the past? Is it in the near past? Is it happened today yet? As far as, like, you know, these experiences with UFOs, let's say, over Indian burial, places or you know, the music thing, you know.
I would guess that there must be at least a dozen or two ancients that have talked about, through mythology, legend, and carrying down stories from the ages, and we're talking about way back.
I would assume so.
Yeah, I think it is. What's amazing to me, Tim, is the fact that all these different cultures that had no communication with each other all have similar stories.
That's the
of
one thing that
happened.
That was impressed upon me. You know, they had no idea what was going on across the continent, around the world, and yet, like you said, they're very similar.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes, it is.
Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is this Mavis, then?
Yes, sir.
Hi, George. This is Bear Rollins from Leavenworth, Kansas.
Hey, Bear.
I've noticed some interesting things. I'm half Comanche, and I'm pretty much half Norse and Irish. So when I grew up, I learned some interesting stories from my mom.
Well, you got it all. You got the leprechaun stories. You got everything.
Oh, yeah. And I also got the bear spirit. That's an interesting story.
Tell me about that.
The bear spirit is like a healing spirit, but it's also a warrior spirit, a protector spirit. So it can be used different ways depending on who gets blessed with it. And I've always been this type of guy. I played football that if I saw something that was wrong, I would try and fix it.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah. I was in Australia with my girlfriend right before she, before that one broke up with me, and I saw a purse snatching go down, and I took off after the guy, and I actually speared him off the side of a dock.
And got the purse back.
Yeah, I got him, but...
Did you go into the water with him?
Yeah. We hit that ground kind of hard, and I drug him out. And we were both fine. Well, he was a little bit worse off than I was.
Well, what'd you do with him afterward, after you got the purse?
I held him there until the police got there.
Okay, so somebody was smart enough to call the cops for you.
Yeah.
Was he trying to get away?
Yeah, he was trying to get away with an old lady's purse.
Ah. Oh.
And I did what was natural to me, and it was really interesting because me and my girlfriend got in a big fight right after that.
Why?
Because she was tired of seeing me
being the hero
out and do the right thing, but a lot of times I would come back getting hurt.
So she was more concerned, though, about you as a person.
Yeah.
She wasn't telling you, don't do that because,
right.
You know, I don't want you to create a scene or anything. She was just more concerned about you as she didn't want you hurt, right?
Right.
All right.
And it ended up that...
Why'd you break up with her then?
Well, I tried to go through a ritual to get rid of the bear spirit. And I'm guessing I succeeded, but she broke up with me because I changed. I was no longer that person that she started dating.
Was she right?
Yeah.
You did change.
I had changed when I had given it up.
How did you change from what to what, Bear?
I just wasn't that kind, caring person anymore. I mean, I wasn't mean or anything. I was just kind of zoned out, and I just really wasn't there.
Was that because you took her for granted?
Well, I'm guessing, yeah.
Or did you really change?
I tried to give up the bear spirit so I could be with her.
I thought you liked the bear spirit, though.
I did, but I liked her more.
Well, did you have to get rid of both?
No, when I gave up it for her, I changed, and she got rid of me.
Well, see, in retrospect, it might have been better to keep the bear, right?
Yeah. So, and it's strange because as of recently, I had a really strange dream that I'm guessing it was a dream, but what ended up happening is I was dreaming about walking down the street, and I saw a mugging go down. I went in there to go and stop it, which is something I wouldn't have done as of recently.
Right.
And instead of them beating up this woman, they beat up me instead. And this was all in a dream.
Well, better bear it than being a dream, I would guess. Thanks for the call. First time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hey, this is JB. I'm calling from, I'm in Utah now.
Ah, you're driving through.
Driving, yeah.
Okay, JP, go ahead.
I actually have just a short story and then a question for you as well, George.
Sure, absolutely.
When I was younger, I know a buddy of mine, we were sleeping in the living room after watching TV late one night, and we woke up about 3 in the morning and saw a green glowing sphere out in a pasture area. And, I mean, of course, being, you know, 7 years old, we were just frightened. You know, we were kind of paralyzed with fright. And, you know, hearing some of the other stories with the spheres, just kind of, you know, urged me to call.
What happened to it? Did it just disappear or float away?
Well, we hid underneath blankets until we basically fell asleep.
So that was gutsy.
I mean it was out the window quite a bit, but you know, it was still there. We're sure of it. But
why does everybody always hide under a blanket? I mean, if something's out there to get you, it's going to get you under the blanket.
Well, right. Like I said, 7 years old. You know, we weren't going to go investigate it too much. That was
for sure.
But you know, we went and told his parents, and they told us go back to bed. We were dreaming, and we hit the covers, and that was all we seen of it. But also, I had a question for you.
Sure.
I noticed early in the program you'd mentioned the name Chupacabra, and I haven't heard that for a while. And I noticed on a website, I think it was on the Drudge Report, there was a creature found in Maine.
There's one in Maine. There's been a few found in Texas. They look like deformed animals to me.
Right.
But the legend of the Chupacabra, of course, is very strong. And I whatever it is, I'm convinced there's a creature out there. I do not believe it's mysterious or supernatural, but there's some kind of species of a creature that, walks on its hind legs most of the time and attacks animals.
Right. I know this one in Maine that attacked a few Rottweilers in the neighborhood. And
yeah, that's pretty gutsy.
Yeah, exactly. But it had been chewed up. It had been hit by a car and then chewed up by, you know, vultures or ravens. And I know they were going to do some, you know, testing on it. And I was just wondering if anything had been done with that, or have you heard about that? Or
no, I haven't heard about the results of the tests yet. But the other ones have all come back as some kind of like a hyena or, you know, a deformed animal. Wildcard line, let's go to you. You are on Coast to Coast, and it's your turn. Hi there.
Hello. How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
That's good. I've been a long-time listener, and I've been trying to get in a long time, and I guess this is my night. You've been talking this about several topics that are prevalent in my life. And I was going to mention earlier to a guest, I know he's not there now, but the Arantia book actually describes everything that we're talking about, that you were talking about earlier. And that goes back to my situation. I fell off a motorcycle in 73, left my body. I feel God spoke to me. He said, I've sinned, and I'm here to warn humanity and to free man. And I didn't even know what the word sinned was until my friend told me that my name is Dennis. So that's my name backwards. And then I happened to think that a man had told me that about, he said, he came up to me. I was in, I've been in bands around the country, in some pretty big bands. And I was down in Florida. And a gentleman came up to me, he said, you're the one. And I didn't know what he meant. And then 2 years later, I fell off the motorcycle, and I realized he had told me about the Arantia book. And I read the book about six times during about 1973.
You read that six times? It's huge.
Yes. Yeah, that's all I did for 6 years. I read it over and over again. And, I was labeled wacky and stuff, but I'm very strong spiritually. And,
sure,
you know, society tried to, you know, I've been saying this ever since, that I left my body, saw the white light, and I actually heard these voices speak to me, and they said, come back. And my, I don't know, can I say my name on the air?
First name will be fine.
Okay, well, my name is the message that I got, so I really can't tell you that. But anyway, on page 500 of the book, it said there's a true musician that will come here, eventually change the course of history.
Is it you?
Yes, it is me. And there's also a book called The Edgar Casey Urantia Book Connection. And my sister works at the ARE Foundation, you know, in Virginia
okay,
there.
Okay, sure.
And she has Beach, she has some publications coming out on the, Bible Code. Excuse me, Bible Code, you know. And anyway, you know, this is just one example of things that have happened to me. And I lost time in the mountains coming back from Georgia. I saw like a carnival in the woods. And all of a sudden, I lost 4 hours of time. I do have an implant in my left thigh.
Why don't you get it removed?
I've been trying to get I'm on Medicaid right now. I have to kind of go. When I was 3.5 years old, my mom dropped a bottle on my nose, and I've had sleep I mean, whole life.
She dropped a bottle on your nose? I've lost you. Where'd you go? Where'd anybody go? I think he's gone. Am I still here? I think I am. I am. Thank you, Steve. Well, he just poofed away. Oh, well, we're almost at the end of the hour as well. Anyway, don't forget, tomorrow night on the program, our guest will be intuitive psychic Joseph Jacobs. And if you need to email me, well, that's very simple. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. Just fire away. We get thousands of emails every day, but we'll look at them all. We'll answer as many as we can. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.